been kind of nice. God's given me all these messages that are all looking at things that are to come, and it's a blessing to be able to preach these things. It's we need to preach about hell, and we need to preach about sin, and we need to preach about those things, but there's some things coming that I'm excited about, and we should be. If you'll stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 21. Read the first 10 verses of the chapter. Starting in verse 1 of Revelation 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a blessing to be here in your house. It's a blessing to be able to preach your word. And I pray, Father, this morning that I would not get in the way of your word this morning, but I would just deliver it. And I pray, Father, that you'd give me boldness. Give me clarity of speech. I pray, Father, that you'd give me strength. And I pray that you'd put the very words in my mouth, Father. I pray, Father, as we look at the new heaven and the new earth, that we'd get excited about what's on the horizon, things that are to come. And we just thank you for what you're going to do through this today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. All of a sudden, I seem to be wanting to lose my voice this morning. Today, it's not unusual to hear of some of these questionable television evangelicals telling us that they had visions and revelations and that they have received them from God. Now, I don't doubt that some of them had visions and revelations. I just doubt that they came from God. It's amazing what's going on out there. Excuse me. Let me get a drink of water and see if that helps. One of two things is going to happen. I'm going to lose my voice, or you're going to quit listening because I can't talk right. Some are quick to point out that many of the New Testament saints had such visions. And yes, they did. But they did not have the complete revelation of God back then. We have the complete revelation of God in His Word today. So, it's amazing. But God would often speak to them in dreams and visions. But 2,000 years ago, John had a vision from God. The Lord gave him this vision, and it didn't require any kind of medication that caused him to hallucinate. It didn't come from something that he ate that didn't set well with him or anything like that. It was not a bump on the head that caused him to have this vision. God gave this vision to John. And the Word of God records exactly what he saw. From our text, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. have to tell you, I talked to some people and they said, no, this is heaven. This is going to be the new heaven. No, this can't be. This cannot be heaven. I've read enough about heaven. This can't be anything close to heaven. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because God said there's going to be. I believe that God's word says that God created, literally, a new heaven and a new earth. There are some liberal preachers who do not preach about the new heaven and the new earth being literal. They have a hard time believing God's word. But let me just tell you right now, I do not have a problem believing the word of God. When he says in God's word, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The word new, let me just tell you, it means new. Doesn't mean old. It means new. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And we know that because John says he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, from the God of heaven. Why must there be a new heaven and a new earth? Isaiah chapter 65, if you'll turn over there in verse 17, gives us that there must be. Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. There's going to be new. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Is that significant? Of course it is. Of course it's significant. Suppose that God did not create a new heaven and a new earth. If he did not create a new heaven and a new earth, what would we have? We'd have reminders of all the evil things that once happened here. But it's all going to be new. Praise the Lord. This new heaven and new earth, God's word tells us two things. The former things shall not be remembered. Also tells us, nor will they come into mind. They're going to be gone. We won't have any of that. Some people have difficult dealing with the past. They have a life of depression and suicide because they can't deal with things that happened in the past. We're not going to have to deal with things that happened in the past because it's going to be new. We're not going to have all those reminders of things. It's going to be great. Do you know what's going to be really nice? Not having any reminders of the fact that Satan was bugging us all the time. In fact, I heard a sermon on my way in this morning where he said, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Yeah. Satan wants to sift us. He desires that. And yet, we won't have any recollection of any of that. I like the message when Satan starts messing with you and reminding you about what you're doing in your past life and all. We need to remind him of his future. People go to the doctors. Some doctors recommend what is known as shock treatment. This shock treatment, shock therapy, known medically as ECT, it's a treatment for major depressive disorder. Fortunately, bipolar disorder and other psychiatric conditions, they try to go into the brain and destroy those brain cells that are causing the problem. After a period of living in the same place and dealing with the same things and all, these people's memories come back to them again. And it all comes back and haunts them all over again. We're not going to have that. all these things are going to be gone. We're not going to have any remembrance of this. Praise the Lord. But there's another reason why God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Wherever Satan goes, he leaves a trail of corruption. Everywhere he goes, tears and sorrow follow behind him. All that's going to be gone. Thank God for that. When he was in heaven, he rebelled against God and caused one-third of the angels to oppose God. When he was cast to earth, he continued to rebel against God. Continues that to this day. And has caused a majority of the population to rebel against God. I know that's not popular. People say, no, most people are Christians. No, that's not true. The Bible tells us that the majority of people stay on the path to hell. It's sad, and it does not have to be, but the Bible tells us that that is the case. Why, again, when salvation is free? When he is full of power during the tribulation period, he'll leave behind him a trail of sin and sorrow. Everything Satan has come into contact with has been corrupted by sin. But God's word tells us the old heaven and the old earth will pass away. After the great white throne judgment, there will be a new heaven and a new earth where we will live in our new glorified bodies, as I preached on, looking forward to those bodies. Glorified bodies, like his glorified body. The new heaven and the earth, new earth will become one. So what makes this new heaven and this new earth special? God Almighty will dwell there. God Almighty will dwell among his people. Wow. So what will we be doing in the new heaven and the new earth? I had a pastor one time, he said, there's going to be degrees of rewards in heaven. So he says, some people are going to be the mayor, some people are going to be the street sweepers. I said, that's hogwash. It's the nicest thing I could say about that. I was trying to come up with something nicer, but it's garbage. The Bible would call it dung. It's not good. It doesn't even preach well. I'm telling you, we're going to be in heaven dwelling with Almighty God. Because the Bible says he's going to dwell among his people. Can you imagine? I mean, you just get goosebumps just thinking about the time in heaven with him. What a blessing it's going to be. We're not going to be floating around on some cloud playing a harp like some imagine. More garbage, more junk they're passing out there. Seems to point to like Eden-like conditions. The Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. And then man messed up. But it was perfect. This new heaven and this new earth is going to be perfect. Bad news for you. Everything's going to be perfect. What do you need a street sweeper for? What do you need a mayor for to mess everything up? You don't need those. It's going to be perfect. Adam and Eve were given the job of tending the garden and subduing the earth before the fall. And there's every reason to believe that the people of God who inhabit the new earth in their glorified bodies will continue the work of Adam and Eve before the fall, enjoying the work they do and the unhindered, you get that, unhindered fellowship with God. See, there won't be any sin to hinder our fellowship with God. who say, well, there's nothing that hinders. Yes, there is. Your relationship with God is sealed. Once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God, forever and ever and ever. But the relationship is still intact when the fellowship can be broken. And how does that happen? We allow sin in our life. Disobedience. Unhindered fellowship with God. Wow. We can't even imagine what it's like to be living without sin in the world. Because it's all we've known. But it's coming. On the new earth, we will continue to work, learn, grow, develop, and accomplish things. Remember the hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through"? Yeah. A few lines later, it says, "If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?" It's true that this world is not our home, but it would be equally true to say that heaven is not our home either. The new earth will be our eternal home. Our eternal home. Once the new heaven and the new earth is made, we'll have our eternal home. When we die, we go to heaven. But it's going to be a place we're just passing through till He makes the new heaven and the new earth. And our new bodies will be made to live, work, worship, and fellowship on the new earth. He's not going to create this new earth without a reason. We can assume that the new earth will be an Eden-like place for God's people to live, work, worship, and fellowship on the new earth. In this sense, what we think of as heaven, a place of full enjoyment of the presence of God, will not be in heaven, but on earth, the new created new earth. The writer of Hebrews talks about this in the book of Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Writers of Hebrews here tells us that after the great white throne judgment, this old existing heaven and earth will become like an old dish rag. It served its purpose and all, and it'll be done away with. After the completion of the great white throne judgment, a new heaven and a new earth will be created. I want to show you some things about this new earth. Number one, where will God be dwelling during this time? The answer is very clear. I mentioned already He's going to be dwelling with mankind. We see that in Revelation 21 and verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Maybe the highlight of our life may have been in the presence of presidents. Maybe in the presence of Queen Elizabeth, or maybe in the presence of some celebrities or something. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest privilege bestowed on mankind is to be in the presence of Almighty God and to dwell with Him. And we are going to literally dwell with God. No one can describe what it's going to be like when God literally dwells among us. The Bible says He will tabernacle or dwell with us. Then number two, what will life be like for the Christians during this time? Look at verse 1 of our text. And it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." God's word talks about the heavens and the earth passing away, and we read, "And there is no more sea." Currently, the seas and oceans occupy about 3/4 of the surface of the earth. And of course, to that extent, prevent the world from being occupied by people, except by comparatively small numbers that are sailors. But God's word tells us there will be no need for sea, and all the land will be inhabited by the saints of God. But God's word has more for us to think about than just occupying land. What does it mean when we read, there will be no more sea? The sea stands for two things in our life. The sea stands for turbulent times in our life. You ever watched those shows and they get out there on the seas and then the winds come? Very turbulent, right? You read about the Apostle Paul and they went out in the ship, right? And the winds came and what happened? Turbulent times came. In Job 14:1 it says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Wow, the Bible tells us a few things here from this. He says, you're not going to be able to live long. It says few days. And you're going to have to expect plenty of trouble while you're here. That's why I have a problem with these preachers that say, you know, you get saved and everything's wonderful. You never have any problems anymore. It's a lie. It's a lie. If anybody got saved and they never had another problem, there's an issue. There's a huge issue. Because first of all, Satan is not happy when people get saved. And the Bible tells us that Satan wants to sift God's people as wheat. It also tells us that he walks to and fro throughout the earth seeking whom he may devour. He's not concerned about people that are not saved. He's concerned about God's people who are doing something for God. So, if you're not having any issues, Satan's not messing with your life, first of all, check and see if you're saved. And two, are you doing anything for God? Because let me tell you, if you're asleep on the sidelines, Satan's not going to be occupied with what you're doing. He's more concerned about people who are actively serving God. How can he mess them up? How can he ruin their testimonies? We need to be careful if life has been smooth sailing. Some people actually act like life on this earth is heaven. This cannot be heaven. Heaven is glorious. Heaven is marvelous. We don't have that here. They seem to be shocked when trouble comes into their life. This life here on earth is not heaven. We can get in our cars. We can drive through the finest of neighborhoods. We can look at all the beautiful homes and think of how all those people must have made it, right? But every one of those homes have people in it. And every one of those people have some sort of trouble. God's word tells us that life will be full of trouble. And some days it seems like if anything can go wrong, you can be sure that it will. Right? I mentioned my car, the back window, having the defroster issue. The guy says, this is so beyond me. And I said, if it's going to happen, I'll be the one. If there's going to be an issue that nobody else has, I'm going to have it. He said, really? I said, I can take you through over and over and over things that I've had people come to my houses and work on three houses I've had, and all of them go, we've never seen this before. If it's going to happen, I'm going to have it. Just fortunate that way, I guess. But folks, everybody has troubles. We're not immune. We think we are, and we think we should be. In spite of the trouble that we have, in this life, we need to keep our chin up. I'd also say, how about a smile on our face? Maybe people wonder what's wrong with us, right? And then we can tell them what's right with us. We have some good news, though. The storms of this life we go through on the sea of the life are going to come to an end one day. They're going to be gone. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And we're like, wow, it's going to be nice to have everything smooth sailing, right? The old body will be replaced with a new glorified body. The old earth, which is full of trouble, is going to pass away and be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. And when these come into existence, the Bible tells us there will be no more sea. That is, there will be no more turbulent times in our lives. The sea represents the storms we all have to face in this life, but we also see that it represents separation. Separation. Many housewives who have stood there watching their husbands get on board those Navy ships and sail out of sight know exactly what I'm talking about with separation. They longing to be with the one they love, but the sea separates them. One of these days, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when that time comes, there will be no more turbulent times in our life. And there will be no longer death to separate us. Those loved ones that have gone on before us, we're going to be reunited with. What a glorious day that will be. I want to look at number three now. What will life be like in the new heaven and the new earth during this time? Look at verse 5 of chapter 22 of Revelation. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Two things that are going to make this such a great place to live. Satan won't be there to make our lives miserable. He won't be there. Satan's workers won't be there to make our lives miserable. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." This word cast, God is going to cast the devil that has made life miserable for mankind into the lake of fire and brimstone. This word cast is balo, and it means an act of throwing something forcefully or violently. When Satan is cast into the lake of fire, I've said before many times, I want to have a front row seat. I want to be right there, front row, watching him be, and I might like to add a little kick, get him going a little faster, right? God's not going to need my help. He's going to be cast. He's going to be violently thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Praise the Lord. But not only the devil will be there, but look at verse 15 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The words, book of life, God never intended for any of us to be cast into the lake of fire. That was not God's plan. God's plan was that all would come to repentance. All would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All would accept that free gift of eternal life. Every single mortal that God has ever created has their name written in the book of life when they're born. And then the person reaches the age of accountability and they have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they don't accept Christ, their name will be removed. It saddens my heart that I know people that over and over and over have rejected. This isn't teaching that we can lose our salvation. That's not what this says. Never, ever, ever does God's word say that a believer's name was removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. Ever. Even though, unfortunately, that is being taught, even today. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3, 5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Overcomers are those who accepted the Lord Jesus, and he gives unto them eternal life. I like to have the conversation with people say, you can lose eternal life, then it's not eternal. What do you mean it's not eternal? If it's not eternal, it can't be eternal life. It sounds pretty self-explanatory, right? But it's amazing the people, and it's usually people who have some high number of degrees or something, they think they're too overly educated, that you can't get through to. Eternal life is eternal life. It goes on forever. It never ceases. But he affirms that once a name is there, it is there forever. It never is blotted out. I do want to say this. If there's someone in our midst today that's never accepted that free gift, you don't have to be one that's cast into the lake of fire. There's still time. There's still time. God says you could come today, because today is the day of salvation. You could get saved today and find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But very soon we can expect these events to take place. I've been preaching about the mysterious disappearance of millions, the rapture, the 7 years of God's judgments, the tribulation period. There will be Armageddon and the millennium, and the new heaven and the new earth. One day that utopia that man has longed for will be reality. Scripture explains the change in a beautiful way. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Imagine a world where there will be no tears shed. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 2. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Then look at verses 9 and 10. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth one day. And he's going to be with his people to enjoy it together for all eternity. Somebody should say hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? I mean, can you imagine? If that doesn't get us excited, I don't think dynamite would. We need to be excited about the fact that we're going to live for all eternity with our Lord and Savior. He's going to dwell with us. And we are going to dwell with Him. It doesn't get better than that. No more tears, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death. But like I said, there's some that would be cast into the lake of fire. And that too is for all eternity. We think that there's some people out there that have been so wicked and evil, they deserve that. Folks, we all deserve that. That's the bottom line. We all deserve that. But thank God, He made a way that we don't have to get what we deserve. We can have what we don't deserve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And looking forward to that time when there's a new heaven and a new earth created. And everything is perfect again. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more separation, no more turbulent times in our lives, no more Satan to deal with. What a glorious time that will be. But Father, again today, if there's someone in our midst that has not accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be that day. Father, for those of us who have, I pray, Father, that we are doing everything we can to see that our loved ones, those that we have as acquaintances, fellow workers, all have a chance at that free gift of eternal life, and that we haven't hindered them coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, again, as we have a time of invitation, we turn it over to You. You have free will in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.